I don't hear a lot of people talking about us getting zapped by a comet.
Well, asteroids and comets are actually both fairly popular in scientific literature now, and this has actually become part of sort of a funding direction that theoretical science has taken, the search for potentially Earth-threatening asteroids. It is now a top item on the agenda for public funding in planetary science. And we would bring a little bit of a different perspective to this, George. It's not that we exclude the possibilities or exclude this concern or dismiss it, but the nature of the cometary catastrophe in the past was just overwhelming, and it was not anything like what they talk about in their descriptions of an asteroid hitting the Earth. This was a blazing, fierce, heaven-spanning phenomenon in the sky. What was the angry goddess of the world's great tradition? She's raging across the sky, yes, setting everything aflame, and she is associated with the planet Venus. The planet Venus was identified as the mother of life and also as the terrible goddess who, in her anger, nearly destroyed the world. And this wasn't this was not a rock coming in and hitting the Earth. And in electrical terms, Wall will have to address this, but in electrical terms, there is reason to doubt that an incoming rock would survive the electric field of the Earth. And Wall, maybe you would like to just address that for a moment.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
First, I'd like to say that the search for a near-Earth object is another manifestation of the doomsday fear,
mm-hmm,
and it's played upon it. Yes, when you have an object highly charged like a comet coming towards the Earth, before it strikes the Earth, there will be an electrical discharge between the two bodies, and that discharge will usually be of sufficient magnitude to destroy the incoming object so that you would end up with a shower of sand and stuff like that. However, the electrical discharge between the two bodies can cause a significant damage on Earth. I think the Tunguska event in Siberia is an example where the object never actually hit the Earth.
Right.
Electrical discharge phenomena at the surface of the Earth, which was witnessed, of course.
And obliterated hundreds of thousands of acres.
That's right. Yes. So, and there was also the famous Chicago fires, where that whole area of the U.S. was lit up by strange fires and falls of sand and such like. And this occurred at the time of the disappearance of Biela's comet. So the traditional picture of what I call the pie-in-the-face model of asteroid impact, where you see this object striking the Earth and great gouts of water from the ocean shooting into the towards space and so on, is completely wrong. There's not a sign of a lightning discharge anywhere in that picture, which makes it wrong, because the ancients said that the close approach of the celestial bodies was also a time of the celestial thunderbolt.
Indeed, so that's the nature of the thunderbolts of the gods. And something just occurs to me as we're speaking here, George, and this is actually another door that is opening. There's a great fascination on the part of mainstream scientists today with the possibility that there is a thread of ancient mythology,
mm-hmm,
relating directly to cometary catastrophe, and they barely touch the myths. But what will happen, because they are giving that first hint of credence to ancient testimony, but they are going to be in for one devil of a surprise the moment they begin to take ancient testimony seriously, because they will right now be very selective and looking for testimony that supports an abstract physical hypothesis. A rock came in and hit here and created these results, and look, here are these stories,
right,
that seem to support that. But once they begin to treat with any seriousness the phenomenon of human memory in ancient times and all the devices that were used anciently to record events, they are going to find that there is this vast reservoir, a library of records relating to the Great Comet and the terror that was unleashed amongst humanity and the ways in which civilizations on Earth responded to that sense of doom or threat ritually. And this, every ritual that was part of that magical response by the ancient cultures is evidence for us. It's telling us something about the nature of the event. And it's not going to look anything like what they're writing books on today.
David, we were talking last hour about how the planets were so closely aligned some time ago, and what a view that would be from good old planet Earth. I mean, Mars must have been huge. One of our regular guests, Richard Hoagland, he has theorized that he believes that there was another planet which orbited Mars, and there was an internal explosion there, and it's probably the main reason Mars might have lost whatever atmosphere it had at the time.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Well, there is something enchanting in the general concept of the exploding planet or moon. Now, we are very closely aligned to Tom Van Flandern, the astronomer,
yes,
on this particular
right,
point.
Right, and Richard's close with him on that, too.
That's he's right. One of the pioneers of the exploding planet
yes.
hypothesis, and there is an overlap in our interpretations of asteroids and small rocks and comets and so on in the solar system. And I do believe that Tom Van Flandern himself says that comets are not icy bodies, but largely just rocks